The way to have the mindset for growth is for us to, like Tony Robbins, that's just not me. That's not my style.
Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is our 103rd guest episode, A Strong Personal Brand with Ramon Ray. Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is our 103rd guest episode, A Strong Personal Brand. Ramon Ray is the founder of Smart Hustle Media. He's an entrepreneur, an author, and a public speaker who loves burnt pancakes and bacon on the weekends. Over his extensive career, Ramon has started four companies and sold two of them. He's authored four books and thousands of articles. His latest title, Celebrity CEO, How Entrepreneurs Can Thrive by Building a Strong Personal Brand, can be found on Amazon today. Ramon has been invited as an expert witness to the United States Congress, invited to speak at the White House on personal branding, and he's interviewed President Obama in the president's first live video chat and was with Ivanka Trump at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit in India. He has shared the stage with Seth Godin, Guy Kawasaki, Simon Sinek, Gary Vaynerchuk, and Damon John. He's even interviewed many of the sharks and contestants on Shark Tank, as well as multiple other celebrity entrepreneurs. Ramon has spoken to and positively impacted hundreds of thousands of small business owners and entrepreneurs to help their businesses thrive. This week, I am honored to have the opportunity to chat with Ramon about positioning yourself in the market and his entrepreneurial journey. Listen in to this exceptionally fun conversation as Ramon shares how he stumbled into entrepreneurship, utilized his resources, and began building his personal brand. Ramon, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I wish those listening all the best in their journey of business growth. And thank you, Lori, for having me. I appreciate it.
Certainly. We are excited to have you and to dive into your journey as an entrepreneur. But before we do, I want to rewind the clock just a bit. Let's go back to the days of junior high or high school. Think about a time when an aunt or an uncle or an elder, you know, a mentor or someone would ask you what it is you wanted to do when you grow up. What did you think the future was going to look like?
Well, I'll answer this way. What I would have answered to them, what I wanted to do, one of two things. I wanted to be in the Federal Bureau of Investigation as a child, an FBI agent. I still kind of want to do that. But as I grew a bit older, I switched that to wanting to be on the United States Secret Service Presidential Protective Detail as counter-assault team. That's what I still want to do today.
Security. We are definitely going to hear the story of how you went from that thought process to where you are today. But before we do, I want to look at what the first steps were that you feel like sparked the thought process for entrepreneurship in life.
Sure. Yeah. And I think I may disappoint many people listening because my journey, you know, some people, Laura, you talk to them and it's very perfect. You know, I was looking and I watched my mother washing dishes for year after year. And all of a sudden I realized, you know what? I can invent soap. And so I went to my Nana or whatever they call whoever. And she said, son, yes, you can make soap. So I sat at her knee, we made soap, and we pushed the shopping cart down the aisle to the grocery store day after day until I sold one. And then I went to Shark Tank and I became a millionaire. I just didn't roll that way. So for me, there's no cute story. I don't know. I'm just going to cut to the jump. And basically, I was in high school. I wanted a part-time job or I wanted to make some money. I got a job at the United Nations. I worked there for many, many, many years. And while there's where I discovered kind of this online world, AOL, Prodigy, the Mosaic browser, that would have been in the early 90s, I think. And somehow, Lori, the tech bug bit me. So I got very technical with a variety of technical things. That's a broad term, but whether running telephone cables, doing computer networks, things like that, I was able to learn while I was there. And then the next jump, somehow this world of business, I don't really know where the jump happened, but a friend of mine's like, Ramon, can you speak somewhere? I spoke somewhere. They said, what's your fee? I didn't know there was such a thing as a fee, but that's help. That was kind of the journey-ish, but it wasn't like where I woke up one day and, Daddy, what's a business owner? Please tell me. No, I wasn't like that.
You're so cute. Thank you for that. But there is a story there. There truly is a story, because you had a job. You weren't necessarily thinking about entrepreneurship. It wasn't a thought process for you. But the universe had its own way of kind of pulling you into that area. You began speaking because somebody asked you to. And then you began charging a fee because someone placed that idea in your head. And sometimes that's how an entrepreneurial journey truly begins. It's not that we necessarily start off and are like, this is where I want to be. Like you said, you know, there are some people who have that moment where, you know, they spark this idea, they work for years, they, like you said, go on Shark Tank nowadays and become an entrepreneur. But for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's truly not how the journey becomes. It comes from, you know, a moment in life that kind of just makes that pivot. So you had this moment where
Thank you, Laura, for unpacking the story. You unpack the story better. Next time I'm going to try to say it as succinctly as you have. Thank you.
Of course, of course. So you had this opportunity, you began speaking, someone questioned you, and they're saying, okay, what's your fee? What did you do from there? What were some of those first steps? What did that look like for you really beginning to think about charging a fee and moving forward?
Sure. Yeah. And I hope this helps. You know, thank you for allowing me to share my story, Lori, but I do hope those listening, I hope these tips, sometimes when I share, I try to share what I did, but sometimes I even try to answer it because it helps you, because maybe, you know, to make it more general. But I think me, I don't know, you know, Google was kind of popular then, but I think really just looking around, asking others, what do you do? Trying to learn. I mean, you know, let's take anything. Let's take this cup here, right? You know, somebody says, Ramon, how much is the cup? You don't know how much the cup is. Or am I dealing with, you know, should this be a $2 cup? Then you find out, oh, wait a minute. Everybody else is selling their cup for $77. Let me do more. So I think part of that journey, Lori, was really a lot of trial and error, you know, from things like my fee. Oh, no, I don't need a fee. If you could just fly me there, please, I beg you, please fly me there. Please, could you feed me something? Just even a stale hot dog, you know, I'll speak. And then you learn today, by God's grace, I can easily say my speaking fee is $20,000. So it's a long jump from then. But I think you learn. And I think part of it, if others, to help others, I think it's a little bit of what's the market doing around you, right? Wherever Lori's seated right now may be different than where I'm seated. So what's kind of the average, you know, median, I think you financial people use, you know, median word or whatever the word is, but that combined with what are your competitors doing, and combined with, as Seth Godin talks a lot, price is positioning, Lori, as you know. You take a look at a premium iPhone, $1,000, they're selling it to people who may buy three of them at a clip, as opposed to another market segment, the phone may be $250. Different market segment, no judgment. It's just a different market segment. So if that's helpful, I think pricing, that's kind of how I did that back then and how I would do it now.
Asking the market itself what it is, where it falls, what fits best for your product and the services that you're providing. So you began figuring out your prices through trial and error, as many of us do. What do you feel were the first steps of your branding yourself and really kind of figuring out how to move forward as an entrepreneur online? You know, we all start with Google and researching and figuring things out. How did you find that sweet spot for yourself? How did you begin honing in, figuring out where you wanted to be?
Yeah, I think it was too broad jumps, Lori, too broad, and nothing was perfect. But if I had to break it down, and I don't know if I've ever shared it like this before, you know, every interview I do is special and unique to that audience and to that amazing podcast host as you are. But I think one was early in my career, for whatever reason, if you seem like a person who can get to the mindset better than I can. So one day we'll do that maybe. But I think, as I recall, for some reason, I wanted to interview large brands, but how they were marketing to small businesses. Why? I don't know. I'm sure there was a logical reason. So I remember my first interview was Nigel Burton. He was a big executive at Microsoft. And from then, and even till today, my money and a big part of my target audience are very large brands who want to market to small businesses. So that was one bucket, if I'm answering the question correctly. That's how I started, just interviewing people. So I was interviewing people, Lori, podcasting wasn't big, whatever, 15, 20 something years ago. So that's one. And then I think, so that established my brand. That's what I'm trying to get to. Thank you. That was my brand establishment to large brands. And even today, Ramon Ray is known to about every large brand out there marketing to small businesses. They know me and I work with them, or they've been my clients. That's one. And then two, I think part of that simultaneously somehow was, since I was early in the online content game for small business, I'm niching this, if that's helpful for those listening. I'm very focused. I'm not in finance. I'm not just in beauty and makeup. It's small business marketing. Speaking at the Inc. 500, being called by Black Enterprise, writing in computer and home office magazines that are not even in print today. So that was my early year of just in this small business. They called it small home office space back then. And I've just evolved and morphed in that. So I think, Lori, if that's helpful, and maybe you can help me say it better than I'm saying it, that's how the brands of Ramon, even today, I haven't pivoted far from that. I work at large brands. And I have this community of thousands and thousands of business owners.
Oh, and you truly did. You found a focus. And that is one of the most important pieces to a successful journey. Really figuring out what it is that your dream and that true vision looks like. And once you have that in front of you, you have the ability to take as many baby steps as you want down the path, as long as you're truly looking at that vision and headed in that direction. And that's what it sounds like you did. It sounds like you had the goal of making sure that the large corporations that were marketing to smaller corporations knew who you were, knew that you would help be that motivational piece, be that inspirational speaker, and have that ability to assist in the marketing areas if need be. And you positioned yourself based off of the vision that you truly wanted to see in the end. And then you unpacked that vision with those baby steps down that walk. So no, you did exactly what, you know, an entrepreneur needs to do to become successful. And that's why I asked you on the show.
Awesome. And the thing is, thank you, Lori. I think it's interesting, though, right? Always, isn't it the hindsight? Because I didn't know 20 years ago or 15 years ago, the journey. I just was on the road, but I wish I had a drone or helicopter to see it. But unfortunately, I didn't, which is why great shows like this, because those listening, hopefully we can share one nugget that will help them. So thank you.
Exactly. No, that's the hope, is that, you know, we share tidbits of this journey so that they can get some sort of view as to what it truly looks like for those who are curious about it, or for those who are questioning it and are knee deep in it, because that happens as well. You know, we have those moments throughout the journey where we're just like, is this really what I truly want to be doing? Is this right? You know, and early on in the journey, that happens more often than not. And so if this show can provide that bit of inspiration and that bit of information that'll help somebody continue their journey or move forward in one direction or come up with a journey altogether, that's what we're hoping to do. So Ray, tell us about your practice now. We've heard tidbits here and there, but please share about your practice at this point.
Sure. Thank you. I mean, basically, there's just two things we do. One thing we do, we inspire and educate small business owners to grow. That's it. Now, we do that though through our content. So I have nothing to sell. There's nobody can call me and hire me. I have nothing to offer many people listening, except for my events and books, things like that. And people can find that at smarthustle.com. But we're all about fun and inspiration, just like the New York Times, right? Most people just pick it up and read it, beyond the small nominal fee you may pay for a year. But the bulk of their revenue, though, and this is my model, comes from the brands we work with. So we inspire and educate the small business owners who go and read the material I do, who follow me online and social media. And on the other hand, I work with Microsoft, SAP, NetSuite, Salesforce, Dell, HP. I can go on and on and on over the years, Google, PayPal, work with these amazing brands who say, Ramon, we want to hire you to speak. We want to hire you to host an event. We want to hire you to MC event. Can we pay you to distribute this good piece of content to your community? So that's what we do. We serve the large brands and really provide, Lori, help them to build their authenticity and credibility to the small business community. That's the biggest thing we do.
Nice. I absolutely love that. And I have to tell you, your energy is so inspiring. And, you know, I first had the opportunity to attend your event in the holiday season, and I thought it was so outstanding, and I had so much fun, and you had so much energy. I was nervous that I wouldn't have enough energy to keep up with you on this episode, but I had to have you on the show.
You kept up. I'm wondering if I should keep up with you. But thank you.
No, I truly thought it was outstanding. I your events are amazing. I definitely was quite inspired to want to try to host one in the future. You know, I just thought it was an impressive event that you did. And I can totally understand why the brands that you work with favor you as a speaker and look to you.
Is there time for me to touch on one more thing? Is there time for me to touch on that?
Of course.
If it's helpful to people, just so you understand, and thank you, Lori, for the kind words. And I must say, this is one thing I think that those listening, if you can do it well, some people may have a pep in their step and fun, et cetera. Clearly, Lori, as you see, that's my brand. That's how I am as I serve my customers. Others of you may say, oh, we're not like Ramon, whatever that may mean. Maybe you're a bit more serious, but you're more long form, very detailed and precise. That's not me. That's your gift. So you run with that. So I just wanted to echo that, because sometimes people may think, oh, if I'm not like a certain way, but you know, Lori, sometimes I look at people and I say, wow, I wish I was cerebral, like, I don't know, the proverbial Simon Sinek or some other, you know, more cerebral with a British accent. Hello. The way to have the mindset for growth is for us to, like Tony Robbins, that's just not me. That's not my style.
I love the interpretations there. That was great. Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You have to be authentic. You have to be yourself. You're outstanding, Ramon. I've enjoyed this. I'm curious, if you had the opportunity to go back, say 10, 15 years and ask yourself or tell yourself one thing, what do you feel that one thing would have been?
Wow. I may need 20 minutes to think of that answer. I'd probably, if I had to think of one thing, probably slow down and be more thoughtful. I could probably think of a few things, but I think there's blessings and curses, as it were, to everything. You know, the person who's cautious pulling out of the driveway, that's good, but maybe they get hit in the other opportunity because they were too slow. So meaning I happen to be very fast, quick move. Sometimes that costs me, or it will. So I think I'd probably tell myself, Ramon, not too slow, but be a tad bit more thoughtful before you say, Wait, let me think about that. So that's probably what I tell myself.
Just take a step back and kind of contemplate things before you take those steps forward. You know, it's never a bad thing to double check things. You know, my father is notorious for that. In fact, he is the quadruple checker. Now, I'm not saying for entrepreneurs to check things 5 times in a row like my father. That is my father's thing. But make sure that you double check things. That's never a bad thing, definitely.
Yes.
So, Ramon, the purpose of the show is truly to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. As an inspirational and motivational speaker, we'd love to know, if you could wave a magic wand and change anything at all in your practice, what do you feel like that would be, and how do you feel it would change the industry?
Wow. Let me answer it this way, and you let me know if I'm not answering the question. But I have a deep, deep passion to educate young professionals, especially youth, not 2-year-olds, but 16, 17, 18, and especially those who are very disadvantaged, maybe who haven't had the opportunity that I've had or the mentorship or influence. I would love to. I already have actually something I built, youtheducationproject.com or .org. Forgot which one it is, but it's not launched. So I would love to make that come to life and to help young people on their journey. There's many organizations like that, but I'd love to do my small part to do that. So if that's helpful, that's what I will do. And that's what I would like to do.
I love that. So let me ask you this. This is how we're going to answer the question. How can we, as the Technology Equals Equality community, help you do that?
Since you asked, if anyone's listening and just is good with launching a project, it's not a nonprofit formally, but it's just, I know how to start. I'm just doing so many things. So if someone already has a passion for youth and young people, training, curriculum, things like that, I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. Well, I hope that we spread the word far and wide and hopefully find those in the community that are capable and excited and ready to assist. Thank you for that. Ramon, you've been outstanding and I have enjoyed this conversation. I thank you. Thank you for joining us. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Sure. And Lori, the pleasure is mine. I hope I've impacted someone's life and business today. Thank you for all you do for your community, Lori. Really appreciate it. And probably the best way is smarthustle.com, smarthustle.com. Every Thursday at 2 p.m., I send out what some people say, besides my mother, is an inspirational email to help inspire people and educate them. So smarthustle.com, I'd be honored. And hey, if you sign up, tell me, DM me somewhere and say, hey, Ramon, I saw you talking to Lori right now. Take a screenshot. And you never know, you may get a special gift from me in the mail.
Awesome. I love that. So we will be sure to include links on the show notes page. Ramon, you've been outstanding. I thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Ramon, thank you again for sharing your time, energy, wisdom, and your journey with the community. And techie community, if you have any experience launching a nonprofit or you're just passionate about helping young people, be sure to reach out to Ramon Ray at smarthustle.com.
technology-equality.com. Or you can always reach him through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Ramon Ray. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. Thank you again for joining me here for our 103rd guest episode. Until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.